Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hi, this is Jessica, and I'm here with...
Hi, this is Sharon.
And...
Hi, this is Tanisha.
And we are going to
turn the page.
Welcome to our podcast, Tanisha. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Would you like to tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
Okay, a little bit about myself. I am an opera singer who happens to be a librarian and an entrepreneur. In opera outreach. So that's a little bit about myself, but there are a lot of layers underneath that.
The opera outreach, yeah. that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Because we oftentimes we think opera is totally far from what we normally listen to, mm-hmm. which it is because we don't really listen to it on the radio. It's not on mainstream radio, et cetera.
Right.
And so... I just like to reach out to people to let them know that it's not as far from you as you may think.
Sounds cool.
That does sound very cool.
So I had a question about as far as being an opera librarian. So now you're just dealing with sheet music or the actual recordings? What exactly is cataloged? Yeah.
It's a combination of everything. Mm-hmm. It's sheet music, it's the actual production, it's also historical performances. I would say at the Metropolitan Opera, when I was doing special projects, it was archiving and curating a collection where I had to understand the history of the opera company and match that history to the score, and also understand from that production, were there any practices, et cetera, that were recorded at the time. And that became metadata for that collection. So it's everything. It's
soup
not just
to nuts.
One. Yes.
That's amazing. So you're a librarian at the...
I'm a librarian at the Freeport Memorial Library.
Yes.
And I did special projects at the Metropolitan Opera.
Okay.
Which turned into an entrepreneurship into opera outreach.
So that's how all the threads... That's pretty much what I was getting at, how all the threads connect.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The outreach actually started in 2015 when I... was promoted at the Freeport Library.
Which is a wonderful library, by
Thank
the way.
You.
We know so many. We know a lot of your coworkers.
Big fans.
Wonderful people. And
yes.
2015, my predecessor at the time, I wish her to rest in peace, Belle Sylvester, who passed away 2 years ago. Well, at the time, she was 100 years old, and she was retiring. Wow. And so I was given the opportunity to rebrand and restart the classical music programming and the art lecture programming. And so it was 2015, and she told me, she said, this is going to be really hard. And so I asked her why, because basically, not to be morbid, a lot of the people in the music community died. And so we had to really get a new audience. So I went over to the Metropolitan Opera, and I told my supervisor, the chief librarian, Robert Sutherland, I said, I'd like to start a new program, a new spin based on what I've done in the library. And he said, absolutely. And that's how this came to be.
That's cool.
That is very cool. So how long have you been, a quick side note, so you just did a program here at our library.
Yes.
And it was called?
Makeup or Breakup, Love Duets at the Opera.
And along with that, you sang.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. When did you begin singing?
I began singing, I'm not going to tell you how old I am.
Well, okay.
But
so
no, I'm just playing.
Yeah.
It's a lifelong pursuit. But I didn't really start opera until I was in high school. I had to audition for a chorus, and I'll never forget, her name was Virginia Santo. If you're out there somewhere, thank you very much. I auditioned with, oh what was the song? Climb Every Mountain. And she said, you know, your voice sounds, it doesn't sound like R&B, it sounds operatic. You should really pursue that. And long story short, I did. I started taking lessons. And that wasn't the end of the story, but that's how it began. Mm-hmm. Really, high school was the eye-opener at the time.
So as far as your operatic background, so it began from there, but then did you pursue it into college, or how exactly?
I surely did.
Yeah.
my first year in college, I went to Spelman. Okay. And in Atlanta, I was a music major, but I stayed only for a year. And then I transferred back here to Queens College, Aaron Copland School of Music. And at the time, that was, oh man, y'all gonna figure out how old. Well, anyway, it was like 2002, 2003. And so my parents asked me, they said, well, what are your plans? Because we don't want you to just pursue just singing, we want you to do something else as well. So I decided to go for music education, mm-hmm. Specifically music theory. And during that time, I met my voice teacher. Her name is Maida Prado, and she was from the Juilliard School. And so she started to teach me there. So that's when I got my teaching. And I also did collaborations with staff members from the Juilliard School through her. Mm. And so that's how I got into opera. I continued into opera.
So how did you get into librarianship
right,
from
that's
there?
Wow. That's a bit of a swap.
Librarianship, well, I worked at a library. I worked at Freeport Library since I was 16.
Okay.
And so when I went away to Spelman College, I didn't know what I was going to do, but the director at the time, Dave Opatow, he said, if you were to come back, you can always come back and you can work here. So when I came back, I worked part-time and I went to school doing my opera and music theory degree. And after I graduated in 2006 from Queens College, that's when I was at a, you know, it was at a, I was at a crossroads. I didn't feel that I was ready to do professional young artist programs. And then I just decided to go to library school. Instead of going to become a teacher, I went to become a librarian. And then everything came full circle because I ended up at the
right.
Met.
It's, yeah. To me, I find that to be the case a lot in libraries. Mm-hmm. You have a really great employee, and you don't want to lose them. So you're, you know, create positions, hold positions, because you know.
And they and the it's like the library directors, like the people, they always know. They're like, that's somebody we don't want to lose.
You
and it's
lose
like
them.
It's like they. It's like they almost like they pick you and they're just like you're a librarian.
Right,
I can
right.
tell
you
got
a
it.
Sorting
you,
hat.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
like
so, I'm
librarian.
So because I started in the children's room, mm-hmm. and I'll never forget when I got into library school, I thought I was going to just stay in the children's room and then get a job as a librarian at a conservatory. And so Mr. Opatow said, no, we want you to go over to the reference side. And by going over to that side, I think that's when everything came together.
Which is very funny. You know, first of all, I mean, raise your hand if you started in children's.
Yeah.
Oh, it's everybody
at
this visual. Everybody at
everybody.
This table
yeah.
is raising their hands.
Wow.
But it's funny because when you say you came full circle. So I had at one point, and it's funny, I feel like I've been mentioning this a lot on the podcast. I was film theory in undergrad. Right?
Wow.
I know, weird. And I had this this internship at the archives at Miramax. I know, and I got to play with like the costumes from Shakespeare in Love.
Oh my gosh,
and
that's amazing.
Oh, it was fun. Yeah, so, excuse me. So after I graduated, you know, I'd known enough at that point that I really just didn't want to go into film the way, you know, you go into film.
Yes.
But the archive stuck with me. So, you know, in my mind, I was going to be an archivist. I was mm-hmm. going to possibly work at the Metropolitan Museum of Art with their artifacts.
Hey.
And, you know, so I have a certificate for archiving, but yes, I went to library school and mm-hmm. I ended up finding that they had a trainee position here in the children's department. Now, I grew up here, as mm-hmm. did Sharon.
That is true.
And I was like, oh, you know what? I mean, a trainee position is good. It's good experience. I'm going to just go for it. And I mm-hmm. did. And then I ended up working in children's for like 16 years.
Wow.
So amazing. I know it's weird, but then it's weird how things come full circle. Because then, you know, you come back and you do things like this, and then you start talking to people who are doing archiving.
Saying, yes, it's amazing, because even when I did, and when I was in library school, we had to do an internship for archives. Mm-hmm. And so I just happened to just take a stab in the dark, and I said, you know, I think the Metropolitan Opera, I think they should have a library. They've got to have one. Mm-hmm. But to come to realize they have a library, but their library is totally different from here. It's not just storing music. Mm-hmm. They actually do a lot of editing, and they are really the people behind the scenes that really keeps the production together. They do a lot of editing. They make sure they do a lot of transcriptions, et cetera. So all the things I learned in library school was helpful for them as far as cataloging, et cetera, and curating in their collection.
So Sharon, would you like to share some personal interest in this topic?
Yes. So when Jessica said that we were doing an interview with an opera singer, I got really excited because back in high school and even into college, I sang. I always sang. I miss it terribly. So I was just so curious to see, you know, your path and a little bit about your background. But going back to high school, I sang for, you know, all county and all state. So, yep. I'm going to brag a little bit. I did all Eastern, which was an amazing back in the day thing. And, you know, I went to Binghamton, and Binghamton had an all-female a cappella group called the Harper Harpeggios, because we love good puns. We have to have a musical pun.
Puns are great.
Puns are great. We called ourselves the Pegs. And, So that was a really wonderful experience, and as a librarian, we don't get to sing very often or hear, you know, besides the wonderful shows we have in the theater, we get to hear all these great talents, so it's always nice to come and see and talk.
Well, I always say make an opportunity for yourself. Don't That's ever true. Hold mm-hmm. hold that back. When I started this, I said, oh, it's just going to be opera talks, that's it, I'm not doing it, I'm not singing. And, you know, I thought one day I was doing something, and they said, well, how does it sound? I said, oh, Lord, I know what you all are doing. You're trying me. And I did it, and I thought about it, and I said, you know what? I can incorporate my singing into this so that they could hear it live and know what it's like. So
and
I
it's
say,
lovely. It was such a great touch.
It's hard work.
I don't even want to venture into that.
It's work, as you know, with breathing and phoneation control and posture. But I say, do it. I would love to hear you.
Not to put me on the spot.
No, I'm not going to put you on the spot. No, but I mean, I'd love to hear you in the future.
So, looking at your lectures, so tell us a little bit about the one you did today.
Okay, Make Up or Break Up, Love Duets at the Opera.
I love this topic. It's so good.
It's basically about famous duets in opera. I got it down to five so that the lecture is not too long. And they take a look at these famous duets. And I ask the audience, because some people in the audience, they know what happened. So I ask, well, what happened? Do you all know? And we guess, and I tell them whether their love endured or not. And it's basically talking about how it connects opera, obviously, with love, but it shows that they're in love. There are ups and downs. Sometimes it's not perfect. And what better way to see it than through music and through theatrics as well? So that's what it's about.
So the ratio, do most of them make up or do they break up?
Well, in today's lecture, most of them broke up.
Aw.
It was out of the five, I think it was three out of five that broke up, but two out of five stayed together. However, somebody died.
Well. That's a breakup
it's
of a difference.
It is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's... that's, you know, that's the way of the world sometimes.
Well, it is. But the beauty in it is capturing mm-hmm. the music at that time.
Yeah.
Like, especially one of the duets was La Boheme, the famous
yes.
O Suave Fanciulla duet from Act One. And it's capturing what it's like when you fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think about, well, what's going to happen in the future? You know, you might think about it in the back of your mind, but in that moment, you're not thinking about it.
Right.
And that's what opera captures, the moment, you know, removed from everything else.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite from either your discussion today or in general?
I do have a favorite opera. It is called Il Tabarro by Puccini. Mm-hmm. It's not a happy opera, though. I hate to sound morbid, but it's the realness of the storyline. It's a very short opera. Would you like me to tell you the story?
Yes,
please.
Oh, please.
We all like to hear stories here.
We're storytellers.
Okay, so the opera opens. I don't know all the details because I have to keep watching it, and I'm not going to look at you as I say it because it's lost.
It's okay.
Okay, so the opera is basically about this couple, Giorgetta and Michele. And Michele is much older than Giorgetta. And he runs like a shipping company, let's just say. And they've been married. It opens up, and Giorgetta is tired of the marriage. She's tired of him. But we don't know why. So we find out Giorgetta is cheating on Michele mm-hmm. with one of the workers, Luigi. The dramatic irony of it is that Michele knows that she's cheating, but he just doesn't know who it is. So there's this important scene where he's guessing, who could it be? And what Puccini does with the beauty of the music is that he chooses all of the characters who work for him, and he explains their vice, like, oh, this gentleman, oh, no, he drinks too much. this other person, I don't know, he has a bad temper, almost killed his wife. Well, he figures out that it's Luigi, but he's not sure yet. Towards the end of the opera, we learn about this cloak, Il Tabarro. And the cloak was a place where Giorgetta and Michele made love, and they had a child. And when they had that child, they would gather, you know, they would cuddle to each other in that cloak. And when they did that, you know, that's when they enjoyed each other's company as a family. We find out the child died. Aww, and that's one of the reasons why Giorgetta is upset and she's tired. At the end of the opera, Michele catches Luigi. Luigi's coming to have his tryst with Giorgetta. And when he kills him, he wraps him up in the tabarro, the cloak. So when Giorgetta comes out, she says, Michele, come to sleep. You know, come in. And he's like, I'm coming. And he says, do you remember that cloak? Do you remember how symbolic it was? And she says, yes. Well, he opens the cloak, and Luigi's body falls out, and he throws her onto the cloak.
Oh, boy.
That is my favorite
how
opera.
Dramatic.
I know it's morbid, but it's dramatic, and it's the music is beautiful. It's short,
I
too.
I have to find this.
I know,
watch
me
this
too.
Now.
Il Tabarro.
And
it was at
my interest.
It was at the Metropolitan Opera this fall, and I think it closed in December. I don't know when they're bringing it back, but it's an amazing opera. Check it out.
Wow.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah.
I have just one more question about
sure.
One of your other lectures, if you don't mind me asking.
No problem.
You had one that you did recently. Was it called I Hate Classical Music?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So that was really interesting. Would you like to tell us a little bit about it?
I Hate Classical Music doesn't only explore opera, but it explores classical orchestral music.
Right.
And what the audience does is they learn about the instrumentation of each popular work, and what I created was an animated orchestra, or is an animated orchestra, according to the happenings in the orchestra as it progresses. And so the audience conducts to that orchestral accompaniment, and they see which instruments are playing at what time. So that's basically what it is. There are different subjects. I think the last one I did was Why Happy or Sad, explaining the difference between major and minor keys and why they make you feel happy or sad. And the one before was the orchestra. What is the orchestra? And so some of the pieces they conducted to were Mozart's Symphony 40, a snippet from it, and Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, the famous dun-dun-dun-dun. Yeah. Yes, and they also learn that Beethoven's Fifth Symphony is, you all know, there's a TV show today, very famous television show. We don't normally see it because we're working. But it's this lady, and she's a judge.
Oh. Is her name Judy?
Yes, Judge Judy.
What a surprise.
It's the theme of Judge Judy, yes.
Oh.
So they learn stuff like that.
That sounds very cool.
Yeah, real world stuff.
Yeah.
You said an animated orchestra? Is that
yes.
What you said? So how do you do that?
Oh, the process was going to the full score and capturing at each moment when the instruments are playing at what time. And by capturing that, for example, I'll give you an example. Mozart's Symphony 40, I'm looking at the score in my mind. So when that opens, it opens with the violas. So only the violas are playing. But then the violins and the basses and the cellos come in for like a couple of measures, and then they go out. That's what the audience is seeing.
And they're seeing this. Are you using a software? Or like, how did you
No, it's something that I created myself.
Oh, that's what I was trying to get at. Yeah.
I capture it, and I used Adobe After Effects to put together the snapshots of each. And so I synchronize it with the orchestra.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's like your own visual representation of what we're
absolutely.
Hearing.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. That
absolutely.
Sounds very cool. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes. And there's a game that's called Are You a Maestro? Yes, and they get to see, well, I'll play something and I'll ask how many horns are playing in the third measure, and it's color coordinated, so they, you know, it helps them out. And they'll say, oh, two or three, and et cetera. And the kids, they really enjoyed it too in the audience. That was over the summer. They did better than the adults. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. When you say kids, is this like what you'd consider like a teen or YA program?
Well, no. You know, actually, it was a...
You know where I'm going with
this. I do know where you're going with this.
I'm the young adult librarian.
Really?
So. Yes, she is.
It was a program for everybody. Uh-huh. I know mostly adults were there, but this lady brought her grandsons, and they were around that age.
Yeah, yeah.
They were answering those questions. Oh, the viola's a... Wow. They knew right away, and they get to also conduct to it as well as it's going by, so they learn about all the conducting patterns, et cetera, and they were doing a great job. But I never thought about it for...
Well, think about it.
I'll think about it.
Very cool. So before we go, yes. May I ask you, do you have a favorite mainstream music?
Oh, my gosh.
This is opera, but just to kind of throw something else
favorite
in there.
Favorite mainstream music.
You
or
can
Broadway
give us like,
show.
Or a Broadway show, yeah.
I'm not really a Broadway person, but mainstream, how many do you want me to give you?
Just go.
Okay, so one of the persons that I love is Sade. Anybody know Sade?
Yes.
I love, now y'all going to connect, voice. Y'all going to think I'm depressive, because no. Sade uses a lot of minor keys. Mm-hmm. She's very I love Sade. I love Sade for her music and her message. I love a lot of old stuff. Mm-hmm. So Temptations, this is stuff that my parents listened to.
I was brought up on music from that time period.
Yeah, so
I listen to a lot of Dusty Springfield. Actually.
Yes. love John Lennon.
Yeah.
I could listen to him all day long.
It's very interesting because I talk to a lot of people. You know, I grew up in a household that loved the Beatles, and I feel like, you know, he's like, his solo stuff is just, it's very scaled down. He doesn't need a lot of presentation.
No, he doesn't. That's what I love about him.
Whereas, you know, like, Paul McCartney has his own charm, but he's more about the presentation and a little bit more.
No, I love John Lennon.
Yeah.
I love the Bee Gees.
Yeah. I do too. I really do.
Gosh, no shame.
I love the Bee Gees.
There's a lot of good harmony there.
Yes. Lots so of good harmony.
And you can, like, dancing. Like, I can't dance, but I will. I'll do it. The Bee Gees come on. I do not care. The Bee Gees, they're on.
They make
Bee Gees.
Anybody be able to, you know, to dance. And even if you don't even know the beat, you don't even know how. Mm-hmm. And last, but I have to say it, I love Beyonce. I'm going to say it. I know
say
it's
it.
Cliche. I'm sorry.
It's not.
But, I don't listen to everything that she does. I don't do that. But I like her message. I like her strength and her beauty. And she shows you could be beautiful, and you could deliver whatever message that supports women, which is very big for today. Oh gosh, and Anita Baker. Mm-hmm. I love Anita Baker. She's an R&B singer. I think she just retired not too long ago, but she uses a lot of minor keys.
I think Sharon and I, like, we've talked about some artists that use minor keys, and like, they're really talented, but sometimes it depends.
It depends on you have certain artists that make you feel certain
ways. But it's not to say that they're not good. Just sometimes, you know, but they're sometimes you're just not so much.
Not in the mood.
Yeah, not in the mood. Right. But Sade, just go back to her. My gosh. Just beautiful. And she doesn't need a lot, you know, with her voice and her imagery. Doesn't need a lot. Very simple. I love simplicity.
Excellent. Beautiful. Do you have anything to add, Sharon?
I don't know. I think no, I'm good.
I'm good too. Tanisha, thank you so much.
Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much.
I really enjoyed this.
This
thank you for
so
having me.
So interesting.
Please,
thank you.
We would welcome you back anytime.
Thank you.
And let's
appreciate
talk.
It.
We'll talk about maybe doing some YA programming.
Okay.
All right.
No problem.
Thank you. Okay. So once again, this is Jessica with
Sharon
and
Tanisha.
And we are going to close this chapter of
Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.